God is good. And all the time. Amen. That's His nature. And there's nothing we can do about it. Amen. This morning, I want to remind us of something that we already know. And the title of this sermon is called, This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Daddy, we come before You. We thank You, God, because Your words are life. And in them, there is light. And it light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is unable to overcome it. We thank You, Father, because of the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. I thank You for the authority, for Your word says all authority is given to Jesus in heaven and on the earth. And so, Father, this morning we just take authority over any spirit that is not of You in the name of Jesus. And Father, we present our hearts to You, our hearts to Your word. Speak to us, Lord. I humble myself before You, Father. I have nothing to say. There is nothing that I have to say this morning, O God, to Your people. Father, speak to us. Speak to us Your words. In Jesus' name, amen. This week has been a pretty interesting week for me. Give you a little bit of background. I think I'm getting some echo on this. Yeah. Praise God. Better? All right. Just a little bit background. I got into ministry in 2003. Well, when I say ministry, I mean as a youth pastor serving in a leadership position in 2003. And how it happened was that I was just busy serving God. I love drama, and that's what I love doing. I think it may be, maybe want to turn this down. I don't know if that's the issue, right? Love drama, love acting. So I love sharing the gospel. And so I love sharing it through acting, right? So I did a lot of writing plays and a lot of acting. And what happened in the church, the youth pastor at that time moved away, and they needed somebody to fill the gap. And so they look at this young guy who is in college and very excited about Jesus, and they said, listen, we'll train you to be the youth pastor. Would you do it? You know, I want to say, if I knew what I knew, what I know now, if I knew back then, I would say yes. It would be the same answer, because God is good. And so I said yes, and that started my journey. However, I've never seen myself as a pastor. Like, I was doing ministry, they were calling me Pastor Dunstan, they were calling me Petey, but I've never seen myself as a pastor. You know, like, it never occurred to me that, okay, they're saying you're a pastor, like, I'm a pastor. If anybody asked me what I was doing, I wouldn't tell them pastoring. I never saw myself as a pastor. You know, I saw a need, and God was using me to meet the need. Amen? That's what I saw. And so I was busy meeting needs, and people were calling me pastor. That's how I see it. However, I took a break for 2 years, worked a little bit in the finance. I'm going somewhere with this. Took a break, worked in the finance industry for 2 years. Man, I was making some money, you know? Amen? God was good. You know, I was making some money, and I was, for the first year, I really enjoyed doing what I was doing. And, you know, because one of my prayer, like, I've been, things were so tough sometimes. My wife was always working. And I said to God, God, I want to work and just provide for my family so that she don't have to do anything. And so God opened that door. I worked for 2 years. By the time I was coming to the end of that 2 years, man, I was miserable. I was so miserable. You know, that was not it. That was not what God had called me to do. That was just not it. And so, I found myself back in ministry. This week, I was having a conversation with someone, and they said something to me. I'm not going to share you what they said to me, but what they said to me kind of shake me up a bit, you know, and I was like, God, am I doing the right thing? Am I where you want me to be? Have you ever been on a path? You know that this is what God wants you to do, but sometimes these things come in and just shakes you up a little bit, and then you start, you know, you're kind of staggering. That was kind of me this week. Just staggering a little bit, you know. Just was a little bit down because of what was said. You know, how I got back up, thank God. But I want to remind us something this morning, and I want to remind myself as well. And I believe this is what the Lord has placed on my heart for us. How are we able to stay firm on that straight and narrow? How are we able to stay firm, you know, in the midst of all the demands, all the challenges, all the distractions, all the words of discouragement that may come our way? How are we able to stay firm to what God is calling us to do? Amen. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus, after spending 3 years with his disciples, he walked with them, he talked with them, he fed them. They were always with him. After spending 3 years with them, he was about to exit. But before he exited this world, he said something to them that we can find in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says something. He said first, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go! Then he went on, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. The words that I've taught you, you teach them. And the third thing, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. You know, this is a big commission. You know, we heard from one of our sisters today, you know, that God has commissioned a brother, all of us. And this is the word that God gave his disciples. He says, go make disciples, teach them to observe, I'm with you always. Man, the crazy thing about this is that they went. They listened. And they went. You know, it may seem like a small thing. Go make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. Teach them what I've taught you. And I'm with you. That's what they got. We know 2,000 years after and counting, the church has been established. These men give their lives. They give their everything to do exactly what Jesus asked them to do. He said, go, make disciples. We are a result of them going. I mean, these guys went through extreme lengths to fulfill Jesus' word. They went until the point of death. Now, to appreciate this, let's just take a step back. Look at your neighbor and say, let's step back. It's okay. Let's step back. Look at your neighbor and say, let's step back. Go make disciples of all nations. Teach them what I've taught you. I am with you. It didn't exist in isolation, but was a part of a grand story. You see, when sin entered the world, God's perfect creation, he gave a word. And in Genesis 3:15, he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, scholars have unpacked this scripture, and this is what they're saying. And I think we all know, we are all familiar with this, right? That this was God's promise to mankind to send Jesus. It was his promise to send Jesus. You see, when sin is the problem, and God's plan for dealing with the problem of sin is Jesus. You know, it's not how much we make. It is not the house we have. It is not the plans that we're trying to accomplish. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with the words the disciples receive? Well, the common denominator is Jesus. Who's doing the sending? Jesus is telling them, go. What is he telling them to teach? He's telling them to teach me the words that I have taught you. And he's saying, I will be with you. Now, the disciples were caught up in a story that was bigger than them. They were caught up in God's plan to redeem man to himself. The words to Adam and Eve was Jesus. The words to the disciples was Jesus. And the word to us is Jesus. The message has not changed. It has not changed. You know, as we look around, we see the effects of sin and the hopelessness it inspires in the lives of those it dominates. For the past month, I've been seeing the reflection of sin in our world. Right outside of my, not too far from my house, there was a pileup and a young person lost his life. A couple weeks ago, I was reading the story in Halifax of the family who lost all 7 of their children. 157 dead as Ethiopian Airways crash, leaving families desolated. The hate in the heart of a man as he storms into a mosque, killing 50 innocent people and leaving dozens in critical condition. Brethren, we can point to all different things, but I'm here this morning to tell you that the problem is sin. Make no mistake. When God created us, he says everything was good. And what God says is good, is good. When he looked at Adam and Eve, he says, you are good. Sin is what separated us from God. Do you know if sin was not in the picture, we would have been in a high-tech garden, because I think we met people. We'd have been in a high-tech garden enjoying the presence of God for eternity. That would have been our position. So don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone fool you. The problem that we are facing today is sin. And the solution is Jesus Christ. It's always Jesus Christ. He's the person that God presented to Adam and Eve. He's the person that God presented to the disciples. And he's the person that God has presented to us today. I got a bigger hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you see, when we receive Jesus, like the disciples, we are caught up. Amen? We are caught up into his story. We become a part of something that is much larger than ourselves. We become a part of God's story. Amen? Every life matters. God has created you with a specific plan and a specific purpose. Amen? He's looking at you and me, and he is saying, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That is God's word for each and every one of us. He says, teach them to observe all I have commanded you. And he says, I am with you always. That is God's word to you and me. Now, that may look a little bit different in all of our lives because we are all different. We have different genetics. We have different parentage. And we've experienced different environmental effects that has brought about who we are today. So God's calling upon your life and my life will look different. Amen? So you don't have to compare. Nevertheless, God has called and he said, go. 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 The disciples went. All died fulfilling the word of God. You know, as I looked at them, I said, what about these disciples can we learn? I'm serious. These guys, they had God's perspective. They had God's perspective. Now, what about them that we can learn in order that we can strengthen as we walk, as we take steps to the path that God has destined for us in this same word? Brothers, I'm not talking about a different word. The word go into all the world is for all of us. Like our brother said, it's not just for the pastor. It is for all of us. It may look different. It may even play out different, but it's the same word. Amen? It's the same word. Praise God. Okay, just lost my notes. Hallelujah. Okay, so I just want to give a few snapshots of Jesus' interaction with his disciples before the big go. So let's take a step back. Look at your neighbor and say, let's take a step back. I'm going to read through three stories very quickly in Matthew. Matthew 17, 24 to 27. Then Matthew 21, 1 and 7. And then Matthew 26, 17 and 19. The Bible says, there are three stories. In Matthew 17, it says, when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others? And when he said, from others, Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, he said, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when it opens its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. Matthew 21, 1 and 7, I will just go straight to verse 2. Jesus was walking with his disciples, and Jesus said to two of his disciples, he says, go into the village in front of you. And immediately, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. In verse 6, the Bible says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed him, and they brought the donkey back. In Matthew 26, 17 and 19, Jesus was about to have the Passover. It says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said to them, go into the city to a certain man and say to them, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house and with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them. And they prepared the Passover. Praise God. Now, three things I just want to highlight. These three stories have three things in common. I just want to highlight that for us. The first thing is this. The disciples had access to Jesus. Amen? The disciples had access to Jesus. In the fish story, I'm calling it the fish story. In the fish story, Peter was approached about paying taxes. It was on his mind. When he came to Jesus, Jesus spoke to him immediately about a concern that was on his mind. Amen? What concerns do you have in your mind? What are your concerns? These disciples had access to Jesus, and Jesus spoke, addressed his concerns before he even spoke it. I want you to know that God is interested in what concerns you. What concerns you concerns him. And he has an answer. Second, in the donkey story, they were just walking by. They were just walking with Jesus. In this story, we see the disciples actively walking with Jesus. In the Passover story, they were in his company. And when it was time for Passover, they asked him a question. Where are we going to eat? And Jesus answered them. Now, this is very important in the life of a believer. We have access to the one who has authority over the heavens and the earth. We do have access to him. Do you believe that? You know, many times it's easy to believe that when things are good. Amen. When things are going well, we can say, man, God, we thank you. You know, I have the access to you. You are blessing me. Sometimes we're able to identify a little bit easier. When things are not so good, do we believe? Do we believe in his power to forgive our sins, for example? When a Christian sin against God, when a Christian and a believer sin against God, when anybody sin against God, if you're aware of God, there's guilt, there's shame. You know, you don't want to go into the presence of God. There is a struggle. But God says that if we confess our sins, that he is just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? So when you kneel down and pray and say, God, forgive me of my sins. You get up and say, like, oh man, I'm free. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Praise the Lord! I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! You better believe it, you're free. You better believe it that you are free. As children of Jesus Christ, we have access to God. God has made us his own. We belong to God. Amen? Hence, we don't owe the devil and the kingdom of hell nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't owe them guilt and shame. That ain't from God. Amen? It's not from God. It is from the devil. So you don't owe the devil nothing, but we owe the kingdom of God something. Amen? We owe him light. We owe him. We owe him the ability to get up, shake off, and move on, because we don't belong to the kingdom of hell. We belong to the kingdom of God. And so we are progressing. We are moving forward as we have access to Jesus Christ. So whatever is concerning us or making us unable to move forward doesn't belong to us. You can shake it off. You can shake it off, you can drop it. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? The second thing is that Jesus instructs them. He says to them, go to the sea and cast the hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you opens its mouth, you will find a shekel. take that shekel, take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. Okay, look, I wanna throw this out here. Did Peter had the ability to do what Jesus asked him to do? Jesus said, go, what? Cast the net, the first fish, pull it out of water. Did he have the ability to do what God asked him to do? To the second one, he says, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, you tell them the Lord needs them. The disciples had the ability to go untie a donkey and bring it to Jesus. They did. The third one, Jesus says, go into a city to a certain man and say to him, hey, the teacher says he wants to use a room in your house to celebrate Passover. Okay? Did they have the ability to go and ask a certain man? They had the capacity to do what God had asked. You know what God asked us to do in going and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? We have the capacity to do. What God has asked us to do, in that he's asked us to teach them to observe what I have commanded you. Do we have the capacity to teach others what Jesus says, what's in his word? We do. And he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have that capacity to believe. Like, what God asks us, we have the capacity to do. Amen. So, what would prevent us from going? Satan. What prevents you and me from going if we have the capacity to do it? We all here have the capacity to go cast a net and pick it up, pick a fish up. We all, because, but think about it. You want me to do what? Throw a net in the water, pick a fish, opens its mouth, and there'll be the exact amount of money that I need to pay for the taxes? Brothers, sisters, look, go and untie somebody's donkey. You know, in some places, that's the person's livelihood. You untie them, they will kill you. In some places, you steal somebody chicken, they'll burn you alive. Look, he went and untied the donkey. What would have prevented them from untying that donkey? I mean, what? It's not my donkey. Fear. Whose donkey it is? Who does this donkey belong to? Like, what? Go knock on a certain man's house and say, hey, man, we need room on board for the night. Like, rejection. Like, are you crazy? No. No. The Bible says that they went. They went. The third thing I want to point out was they witnessed the fulfillment of Jesus' words. So Jesus sent him to the fish. He picked the fish up. He opens its mouth, and there was the money. What did you think that did for Peter? When the two disciples went and untied the guy's donkey and his colt, and the guy said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, the master has need of it. And the guy said, oh, okay, go. What? Okay. What did you think that did for the two guys? did you think that did for them? Or there's a song that goes, He is able. Okay, my wife said no. When they knocked on that guy's door and said, Jesus says, we need room on board. And he opened it and said, hey, this is the room, you guys can use it. And they went and prepared the Passover. What did you think that do for them? The going, God has given us the capacity to do it. The other piece is all Jesus. Is all God. He will put the money in the fish's mouth. So the miracle that we need, He will do it. He will allow that person to get the colt and the donkey. He will provide the room. He will do it. Our job is just to go. And when we go, and God does what He says He will do, it will build faith in us. It will build faith in us. We will see and taste the goodness of our God. And we will be able to continue on the path that He's called us on. Amen? I have seen enough of the goodness of God to know that He is able to do above and beyond I can think or imagine. I have seen, I have tasted, as the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I have tasted Him and I have seen that the Lord is good. It's my testimony. God is good. He has been faithful to many of us, if not all of us. He is faithful. If we would only go. If we would only go, if we would only say to our fears, you know what, fears, step aside, I'm going. If we could only say to unbelief, unbelief, step aside, I'm going. You know, if we would only say to God, you know what I'm saying, look, I don't know how this thing is going to play out. Nevertheless, I'm trusting you. There is not a time in my life that I remember trusting in God and He didn't show up. He didn't do only what He can do. And many of you have the same stories. God is able. Don't stop now. Keep going. We gotta go. We have to go. We have to go. It looks different for all of us. Trust me. You know, this is not the time to and fight among each other. No, this is the time for us to go. What God has placed in you, what He's been telling you, brother, sister, it's time. It's time. Like, it's time. You know, it's time. Go and allow God to do what only God can do. And I thank God because many times we are here today because God would have it be. And sometimes He needs to turn situations around, beat us across our heads. If you're like me, you know, a lot of beating, you know, a lot of closed doors, by the way, lots of closed doors, door closing up. I can't tell you how many jobs I keep applying to. Man, I want to get into the bank. I want to get, and getting up to the close and then the door is shut right in my face. What is God saying to you? The God who is close to us, the one who we have access to, that we can go anytime. It doesn't matter the time. You know, do you have anybody that you gotta say, hey man, you know, sometimes even with the pastors, you go, hey pastor, you know, I would like to meet you and stuff like that. I need to talk, I need to get some stuff off of my chest. It's like, well, you know what? I'm a little bit busy now, but if you can wait around next week or something like that, at this time, we can meet. With God, when we kneel down, He shows up. When we put our knees on the ground, He shows up. And let me tell you, if you want Him to answer and you kneel down, let me tell you, prevail. Wait. The Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, we live in a generation that's very fast. Everything must go like this. But if we learn to wait on God, God will answer. He will show up. Praise God. I just want to encourage us this morning. It is time to go. You know, Jesus is coming. He's coming with his disciples. The one piece that was missing, though, because we all know this story, the one piece that was missing, although they went and they obeyed God, they developed what we would say faith in God, in his word. He will do what he says he will do. We've seen it over and over and over again. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says they all dispersed and they ran. Because the one thing that we can't, there is no remedy to, we haven't solved, mankind hasn't solved at least, is death. And so when Jesus was talking to his disciples about going and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, when he was giving them these words, teach them to do what I've taught you to do, and that I will be with you, he was standing before them in his resurrected body. He faced death in the face and overcame. And that's why they said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? What they were looking at was the resurrected Savior. And so when he said, go, it was not just, oh, go. It was with authority. Because he said to them in the verse before, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So he was standing in his resurrected body. So you see how easy it was for them to go. They were like, yes, this is life. And we all know that after this life, there is another. And in order to get to the another, there is death. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to pull you down. I'm trying to get you to go. If I can take a whip out and just start. No, I can't do that. I don't know what God has put inside your heart to do for his kingdom. I don't know how this word is playing out. Jesus. I don't know how it's playing out in your life. God knows. You know. You know where exactly you're at with this go make disciples. Someone's looking at it and it's like, well, I'm not there. Some may be saying, you know what? I'm working at it. You know, I'm working at it. You know, and I want to encourage you, keep working at it. If you don't know Jesus, we will open the altar and you can come up and receive him. He is the answer. He is the answer. Jesus is truly enough. He's truly enough. Let's just rise to our feet as the worship team comes.